God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are now taking the second part of Christmas, the real story. And if you have the handout, I'll just sort of be following along. In the first box, we may remember what Luke chapter 2 reminds us, that there is a decree and there's going to be a census and everyone has to return to their own hometown. And typically we have a picture in our mind, as that first box depicts, of Joseph leading the donkey that's carrying the very pregnant Mary. And they make it to Bethlehem. But just barely in the nick of time, as frame 2 sort of notes, that Mary is like really pregnant and there is no room for them in the local inn. And so they are left to, then frame 3, a manger. Something more than just sort of like a carport for animals. And there at the manger, she gives birth. The shepherds come, and quite possibly, as frame 3 depicts, some of you also may be picturing the wise men also bringing their gifts. If you turn over to the next page, however, you will notice that more than likely, the path to Bethlehem probably went along the river, as that graph shows, and that more than likely, as Luke 2 reminds us, they used the phrase, "While they were there, she gave birth to a son," giving the impression that they'd already been there for a while. They didn't just arrive. And then if I can just pick up frame 6, the word for inn wasn't necessarily a reference to the Holiday Inn, so to speak, but also could be translated as a guest room. Remember, if Joseph is from that land, he had plenty of relatives to invite him in. More than likely, they had a place to stay, maybe not necessarily the guest room, but in somebody's house. If you turn the page, you sort of get a cutout picture of someone's house there. The guest room could be possibly the one on top. The one on the bottom would be where the rest of the family would sleep. And there you would also have the animals who would also be joining them in that room. And then you see little cutouts where the animals are feeding, typically that little manger area. It gives us a little bit of a different picture. Now, I'm not trying to shatter your dreams of what the first Christmas would be like, but just to give you a little bit of an idea of what the text really does say, and maybe some misconceptions we may have. I forgot to bring it. I thought about it, but being a little under the weather right now, it slipped my mind before I left the house. My daughter has a little snow globe with a manger scene in it. And it's really neat. You can shake up the snow globe, and you know what happens. There's snow going all over the place. Well, more than likely, it didn't snow either. More than likely, the wise men weren't there either. And there weren't necessarily three of them. Scripture talks about three gifts. More than likely, these gift bearers came approximately about 6 months after the birth of Jesus. Again, am I giving you this information to shatter your hearts? The answer, again, is no. But just to remind you of one thing that's very, very important that in our society today we often lose track of. That, yes, God is in control. See, our typical Hallmark way of thinking of this Christmas leaves a lot to some chancy circumstance and some good luck, so to speak, on Joseph's part. First of all, let me unpack the donkey piece. More than likely, they didn't have a donkey. They didn't have much money. They would have walked. She wouldn't have necessarily been very pregnant either. She probably would have maybe just been a little pregnant. So she could have walked along, and they would have taken the journey very, very slowly and deliberately. No one as it was at risk here. As far as arriving into Bethlehem, Joseph would have been surrounded by his family or distant family. And even in the Middle East today, if you're a family, even distant family, you are family. It isn't like our generations now in the United States. They had a different way of looking at family. Even very, very distant family were received very warmly and had a strong welcome. Needless to say, the reason why I want to paint this picture in your mind is to give you the idea that, yes, God does take care of His plan of salvation. His plan of salvation of God Himself taking on flesh and blood and living among us is in place. As the Holy Spirit announces that to Mary, you are with child. God does not haphazardly care, but very wonderfully cares. Needless to say, Mary and Joseph were well taken care of. No one was at risk. No one was being abandoned. No one was out in the cold to sort of face the bitter snow. Quite the opposite. If God cares so much to take on flesh and blood and was willing to die for you, don't you think that He would have at least prepared and had things in place that Mary and Joseph would have been well taken care of? Yes. Needless to say, wasn't it kind of interesting that this very poor couple would all of a sudden have gifts bestowed upon them? Then again, part of God's plan of salvation. Where does this leave us? Well, how often in our own lives do we sometimes feel alone? Do we sometimes feel rejected? Maybe we sometimes feel like that very pregnant Mary sitting there on the donkey with the snow coming down, thinking, when is it ever going to end? Why me? Very often in our society, we like to have those why me type questions. We start feeling that of that loneliness. We start feeling that it's only up to me. We may even feel that God doesn't even care. Painting this new picture of Christmas shows us a God who does care. A God who doesn't leave things to chance. A God who is concerned with every single hair that's numbered on your head. Whether you can count them all or not is irrelevant. God knows them. The reason why we need to paint this new picture is the reaffirmation of God's love, not just to Joseph and Mary, but to each person that is created by God. Yes, we live in a society that seems to devalue human beings at every toss and turn, so to speak, but God doesn't. God values every person. He knows every breath we take. He is concerned about our inmost being. If we're cold, God knows about it. If we're in need, God knows about it. And if we're feeling lonely and forgotten, God knows about it. So what does God do? He reminds us that He is with us always. We remember those passages as Matthew closes his gospel. I am with you always to the end of the age. We are reminded that yes, Christ is with us. He is with us in this bread and wine that we're going to receive at the Lord's Supper. He promises in His Word that He's going to be with us. In holy baptism, He puts His name upon our hearts. The Holy Spirit is within us. Then why do we struggle with loneliness? Why do we sometimes feel abandoned and forgotten? Why do we sometimes would say, why me? That's our sinful nature kicking in. We like to have those pity parties for ourselves. We like to say, woe to Mary and Joseph. Wasn't that a terrible struggle and a terrible plight they had to go through? We like to feel sorry for other people and even sorry for ourselves. But now we've missed the whole point of what Christmas is all about. Christmas isn't the time to feel sorry for ourselves, but a time of rejoicing. A rejoicing that, yes, our Savior has been born. But during this time when the church should be celebrating, unfortunately the holidays is sometimes a very dismal time for people. People who have families that are torn apart via arguments or logistics, or they just can't get along anymore, sometimes see the holidays and have that grand picture of the family getting together. In reality, it won't get together. And it brings about a depression. Well, we have to remember what God did for us. We were once separated, foreigners from God, enemies of God. But through that baby that was born in Bethlehem, through that baby, through that promise, now we are part of God's family. We belong to Him. So why would you think anything else? Has God forgotten us? The answer is no. So if the holiday blues start coming into your life, don't shake that snow globe. But trust in what Luke chapter 2 reminds us. God cares. He is there. He is with us each and every day to strengthen us, to nourish us. Too often we forget about the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It's true, we celebrate it every single worship service, but truly understanding that we are being reconnected to God. Why do we need to be reconnected to God? Our sinful nature kicks in and we think we're alone. Silly Christians. We're never alone. Christ is always with us, there to strengthen us, to encourage us. If He was willing to die on the cross for us to secure our salvation, don't you think He's also there when we may feel depressed and lonely and forgotten? Don't you think He is there when the concerns of the world start weighing down upon us? He is there to sit there and say, wait a minute, I have taken care of your salvation. I have forgiven you your sins. Even when you get depressed and feel lonely, there is still forgiveness from God. He doesn't want you to feel depressed. And He even gives you a community of believers here at Trinity to encourage you in that faith, to strengthen you, to lift up your soul besides His very precious Word and His sacraments. So on this day, as the church prepares again to celebrate the birth of our Savior, we realize that this isn't just by chance, but this is God's plan of salvation. I'm sure there were some struggles that Mary and Joseph had to go through. They just didn't have the red carpet treatment, but God took care of them. They were never alone. They were never abandoned. God is with them, was with them every step of the way. And just as He was with them every step of the way, He is with us every step of the way. Our gospel reading reminds us that living in this world, there's going to be some hard times. The Lord basically says when it gets near, closer to the end, He's going to have to cut those days short for the sake of the elect, because the times are going to be rough. But even in the roughest moment of your life, whether you're experiencing that now or whether you will be experiencing it, like Mary and Joseph, you're not alone. God is with you. He has a plan. You are saved. He is there to comfort you, there to lift you up, there to bring you to be with Him in heaven above. Don't give in to the darkness of the world around, but trust in His Word. And that Word says He is coming again. It may be taking 2,000 years. It may take another 2,000 years from now. We don't know. It doesn't matter. Because we know one thing for certain. God is with us every step of the way. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.